Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
All right. How's it going, Dan?
Good. How you doing, Chris?
Good. Good. Doing well. Excited about jumping into this second episode of Bank Marketing Show. And we've got a big one on tap for today, don't we?
Yes. Yes. A lot more in-depth than the first intro episode we did. So
yeah, for sure. Well, so with us talking today about strategic planning, I mean, this is kind of the backbone of the whole deal, right? I mean, I think, Dan, we're going to cover some important stuff that if folks in the banking financial services industry are missing out on some of these key parts of it, then just kind of grasping at straws. So I'm excited about what we're going to offer to everybody in this one.
Yeah, I know, all the banks we work with, like a lot of banks come in without a marketing plan. Some have a plan, but haven't done all the steps here. So I think even if you're really good at planning and you go through it, there's probably some good nuggets in here for you. So I'm excited to get this out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So at the risk of this wonderful lady, I'm going to tell a quick story about knowing who this is. We actually had our whole team had a Zoom meeting with this bank marketing director and her team at the end of the week last week. And, you know, as loosely said, things for them have been kind of grasping at straws, right? They've been on their heels, and I think really having a hard time. Their LPOs and outside folks and even board members dropping in at the last second saying, hey, we want to do this or make a post about this, or I want to do this ad. And by the way, I need it tomorrow. So, and for us as agency folks, number one, that's logistically and otherwise is a nightmare. But, you know, what we did is I said, listen, I don't want to spend our time together talking about the logistics and how quick turnaround times and everything. Let's take a big time out since we have both of our teams together and talk about your strategic plan. And Dan, I mean, I got these looks like, what strategic plan? So, and I kind of said, yeah, that's what I thought, you know? Yeah. So anyway, so I said, look, let's log 30 minutes of time here. Let's go through this and let's talk through your planning. We're not going to get it all done today, but let's get some structure to what we're doing for the coming year. Let's look at this. And the short story of it is the marketing director at a couple of points was almost literally at tears of joy. I kid you not. You know, at yes, we've needed to do this for so long. The bank's got a three-year strategic plan, all that kind of stuff. But for marketing, we've just been trying to make it work.
Yep.
And I think we need to try this and all those kind of things. Anyway, so Dan, I hope what we're going to bring to folks today is some of that same, wow, even if you've already got some planning in place, maybe talk to you and share some of your agency's best practices, Dan, and some of ours as well that I think are really going to help folks.
Yeah, and I'll say the hardest thing about strategic planning, honestly, is setting aside the time to do it. And not that not that the planning process is easy or the things we're talking about aren't complex, because they are, but that's the biggest kind of gating factor is you need to set the time aside. But there's, you know, always something more pressing, like, as important as strategic planning is, it's never the most important thing in your Monday or your Tuesday, right? Something always comes in. A customer comes into your office, you get a phone call, there's a different meeting that comes up. And to really plan well, it takes, you know, you've got to put yourself in a sort of cone of silence, right? And think through the stuff. No things. And we'll talk about these things here, but just as a preface to all that, you know, the reason Chris and I do a lot of these with the banks that we work with is because it's, you know, sometimes it takes that outside force to come in and do it. So, you know, whether you have somebody that you can work with on it or you're doing it on your own, try to get out of your office, try to get out of your branch, you know, and, you know, set aside some time to get it on paper.
Absolutely. Yeah, which we think, Dan, you and I do, that's a lot of the value of this podcast to folks that are listening to it today, is that, you know, to get that view outside of your desk space and go, okay, how are other people doing this? How are people doing what you're talking about, Dan? Setting aside time for it, you know, and the accountability and the processes. And obviously we're going to talk through, you know, the structure of a good plan and how to put together, how to make it work, and key things that you need to be looking at and including. So,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So I'll talk a little about what do we mean by a strategic plan, right? Like Chris said, we're going to talk you through all the pieces of a strategic plan that we use with our clients. We're going to talk through how to get this stuff done. But really, what do we mean by it? And all we really mean by a strategic plan is a roadmap, right? How are you going to get your marketing priorities done for the year? You know, we all know that, like, sitting here in January, if you're listening to this in real time, it's the end of January. We're looking ahead at the rest of 2022. 2020 taught us anything, like, we can't always predict what's going to happen throughout the whole year. But without a plan, we know we're just kind of, I think, Chris, you said, grasping at straws. We're just kind of meandering along. We're more reactive than proactive. So plans, you know, can change. Plans can and should and will change and adapt to the environment of the year, but you need to kind of know where you're going. It's like setting out on a road trip. You need to have a direction. You may run into construction or something along the way, but you need to have that direction. You know, the other part of it, a strategic marketing plan is different than the bank's strategic plan, but they should be related. In fact, we're going to talk about starting with the bank's business plan and talk about how the marketing goals you set roll up to that. You know, I get asked a lot when we start working with a bank, you know, hey, how do we get on Google? How do we start an Instagram feed? Questions like that. And my answer is always, well, right, like, that may be an important place for you to be because those are big platforms, but picking those platforms, picking how you ramp those up is actually the last step in the planning process for us, right? You need to know who you're going to talk to first. You need to know what you're going to talk to them about, what your messaging will be first, right? And that's where this process comes in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Dan, before we started too, we were chatting a little bit about the why also. Mm-hmm. I mean, and to kind of take that step process a little further. You mentioned it a second ago about proactivity. We deal with so many folks that are on their heels instead of on their toes. And it's a whole lot more fun in our professional roles and our professional lives to be on our toes and to be able to be proactive and say, okay, I know what's coming next. Here we are in January, but man, we've got Q1 mapped out. And I don't just mean that, oh, we're going to talk about mortgages or we're just going to talk about deposit accounts. I mean, you know, we know a month ahead, maybe even a quarter ahead and all of that, the platforms, how we're going to do it, what's going to happen, who the players are, all the stuff that we're going to talk about today. And the only way to do that is to get ahead of the game and to be proactive. One of the other big things I think as well, you know, kind of the old days of, especially as a small community bank, and being an integral part of the community. So it's kind of buying space from the next ad rep that walks in the door, right?
Yeah.
You know, my cousin Bob's best friend, you know, sells radio or whatever the case may be. Well, nothing wrong with radio, nothing wrong with digital ads, nothing wrong with any of the specific platforms, but that's no way to run a bank's marketing strategy, you know? Right. So what it does is it creates a platform for us to say no.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really hard, but it's also really great and can help provide structure around your day, your professional life, even your personal life. So, So we're going to talk about
getting around shiny object syndrome.
The shiny object syndrome too. That's right. Is this little software thing will make this thing spin. Yeah. But is that part of the plan?
Right.
And is that going to get us where, does that really express our differentiator to our target audience, et cetera?
Right. It gives you that basis to evaluate those opportunities when they come in.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. They might be good opportunities, but look at it against the plan to help you make your decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the last thought about kind of the big why of doing the strategic marketing planning as well, Dan, is that it makes sure that everything is cohesive with the direction that the bank wants to go. So yep. The bank's going to have a strategic direction and a plan. It is also from the C-suite and the board level is going to be looking at what's going on in the environment. You know, certainly the pandemic has done a lot of things like make a lot of folks cash heavy and need more loans, or the big picture stuff. So is our marketing plan and how that's going to be carried out strategically aligned with where the bank is going? So these strategic marketing plans, man, I've talked to some very proud senior VPs and marketing folks that have passed the strategic marketing plan back up the chain. So they're looking at it in board meetings.
Yeah.
The board's going, oh, I like this. I like the direction that we're going. So I think that's a big part of why too, is to get every, and then to pass the implementation plans for the plan to frontline staff.
Yep.
So that they're engaged in, you know, you were talking about, is it Instagram or Google or whatever the case may be? Well, everybody top to bottom needs to be engaged in this process. And I think that's a huge part of the why.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about it in terms of, you know, when I start working with a lot of banks, marketing is a cost, right? Marketing is seen as a cost. Whereas that, well, we have to do Google ads, or we have to invest in SEO. A plan can turn that into, you know, marketing being seen as an investment, right? So if you're in charge of marketing at your bank, like, you know, that's also good for your role and your career is, you know, having it seen as an investment and something that's going to actually fuel the growth of the bank, because it is. So, you know, if you can have a plan laid out that maps to the bank's overall goals and your executive team's goals, you know, you can say, hey, look, it's not just spending money on Google. We need the money, you know, for these ads in order to help you reach these goals.
There you go.
You know, think about it in those kinds of terms too. It's not just, you know, the tactical, where are we spending the budget that we have? It's how is that budget going to help the bank meet its overall goals?
That's right. All right, Dan, so we're going to make a jump here. We know from what we've said the last few minutes that everybody that's listening to this podcast is going, okay, I'm in. Now what do I do? Right? So everybody that's listening, we're going to kind of take you through some of this and talk about the components, you know, of a plan, all right? So we're going to hit audience, messaging, budget, tactics, platforms, technologies. So bear with us through this. I think there's going to be some really valuable meat on the bone here for some of this and some of the kind of shared best practices approaches we're going to take as we go through this. And how do you start and kind of go from there? So Dan, you want to jump in?
Yeah. So, you know, last sentence or two on kind of what do you need before starting, right? We've kind of talked about all these components, but the biggest thing is, you know, have your bank's goals in mind, right? Know the bank's overall priorities and goals, right? Some banks have this written out in a document that you can grab. Maybe it's a meeting with your president or your executive team, but just understand, you know, where does the bank want to be at the end of this year, in 3 years, and 5 years, right? How, you know, start thinking through that and how marketing can help achieve some of those goals. You know, some of the goals are going to be like, you know, return on assets and very specific metrics. But, you know, through most of them, there's a way to map it back to marketing. You know, also know your previous performance. If you've been running ads already, know your conversion rates, know how many accounts were opened as a result of those ads, know the loan volume or the number of loan applications you got as a result of the activities that you did. If you have it, some banks do and some banks don't. But that can help kind of set the context for getting started. So
absolutely. Dan, another piece, you know, along with that, also that we want folks to have on their desk, so to speak, or in our planning sheet as well, is their whole SWOT analysis. You know, what is this? Getting really specifics into what are the opportunities? What is the competition, our weakness, our image issues, those types of things. So I couldn't agree with you more. I think you've got to have all of that coupled with the goals and the other things that you're talking about. And so that's the deck of cards, right? And then let's start making sense of this.
Yeah. So the first thing that we do, you know, you can kind of attack these in a few different orders, but the first kind of two things we're going to talk about here are usually towards the top. So what we always start with is audience, right? Who are you trying to reach? you know, use an example, real life example, most banks we work with are trying to reach millennials more, right? This may differ by product. Maybe you're trying to get your CD renewals, those types of things ongoing. But for most banks right now, you know, big strategic goal is to attract more, you know, millennials, Gen Z, younger people. So, you know, the first step of, you know, audience is to understand that better, right? Millennial is a super broad term. How do you break that down? What does a millennial in your geography mean, right? A millennial where I am in St. Louis could be much different than a millennial in a rural area or a millennial in Los Angeles, right? What are the millennials in your area struggling with, right? Who do they, what types of jobs do they have? What is their income like? How does their income compare to, you know, the cost of a home, the cost of living in your area, right? So saving up for a first time, being a first time home buyer may be harder for people in your area if the cost of living is high. It may be easier for others if it isn't. So really understanding that is a start. And the way we do that is through persona and journey mapping. So, and we can link out in the show notes here to example personas and journey maps that we use with our clients. But the basic idea is to get beyond, okay, millennials buy homes or millennials, you know, need to start savings accounts or get an IRA, down to like, what are their life challenges? What are their life fears, right? They'll be financial related and eventually we'll have to map back to the bank's products and how we can help them. But we really want to put ourselves in the shoes of that person. So we wouldn't send the same offer and the same, you know, product to a millennial first time home buyer that we would to like a mid-sized business owner. So we want to set out like who are the core personas that we really want to reach through a bank. And most banks we work with end up with around 5, right? It's not going to cover 100% of your customers, but we want to really cover the customers you really want to reach for, you know, for your growth goals. So maybe you're fine, you know, this is where your bank strategic plan comes in, right? Look at those customer groups that the bank wants to reach or new geographies they want to move into and really try to put yourself in their shoes.
You know, one of the things that we encourage our clients to do, Dan, as they're discussing audiences, is almost to set aside the thinking of, oh, wait, we can't say we're going to target that audience because we don't know yet how we're going to reach them, or whatever the case may be. Well, no, use the business sense and the goals that you were talking about bringing to the table for this planning. Use the goals to say, okay, well, we want to reach first-time home buyers, or we want to reach retirees, or we want to reach, you know, whatever the case may be, small business owners, and talk about those exclusively and independently as audiences, if those are in fact your target audiences, and you know that they are, because those are relationship, therefore revenue opportunities for your bank, right? Yep. So it's kind of set aside that thinking of, oh, well, we've never had much luck with, you know, blank audience. You know, we want to grow it. But yeah, for this planning, put it out there anyway as an intentional part of it. We're going to get a little further in this process. We're going to figure out the how and why we're going to reach them. Yeah.
Yeah. And like we said, we get to message kind of at the end of this process, right? We
want to know
who we're going after first, what products fit, you know, will mesh with the challenges they have in life, you know, how we're going to get at them, reach them with those products. Messages, but then the actual messages and the actual like differentiation come towards the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is a good segue from audience to products. You mentioned that a second ago. So there are key questions to go through and ask as we talk about what your products are. Obviously, that's probably first going to be based on need, right? Your overall need and revenue need for the bank. Like I used the example a little while ago, is kind of the further we got into the pandemic, we had more and more customers saying, hey, we're cash heavy. We're good on deposit accounts. We got to get loans. And, you know, that's a big picture. So that's going to tell you a lot about your products, right? So what are, you know, whether it's ag loans or mortgages or small business loans, and a lot of that depends on who you are as a bank, right? But so those products, and what are they specifically? And are you, as you're kind of moving from audience into products, is this a new audience? So are we after new customers that we haven't had? Or are these current customers that we're looking for, you know, relationship growth opportunities, right? Deposit account customers, we're looking for loan opportunities, or vice versa, whatever the case may be. So answering those questions. And then starting to look within those products at what can we do with those? Okay, so Dan, I'm going to share a secret here on the Bank Marketing Show. Okay. Everybody has checking accounts. Yep. Everybody has, you know, savings accounts and small business and CDs and all that kind of stuff. So that's not what we're talking about. You know, but what we're talking about, again, we're going to get into differentiators here in a little while, but talking about within your product set, what do your products have to offer? You know, the one way of thinking is being rate competitive. And certainly you need to be. So it's not just that, but it's not just that, right? So many of our product offerings these days are geared towards certain audiences, and they're better fitting for, again, younger folks or retiring folks or whatever the case may be. So having those spec'd out and then looking at what we were talking about a bit ago, mapping them to the personas. So yeah, the audiences, the products, and what those focuses need to be. Are your products in the shape that they need to be offered to these key audiences? You know, do you have the different account types that are going to fit? Whatever the case may be, and knowing specifically what those product and service offerings are.
And to your earlier point about everyone's got a checking account, I have this conversation a lot of you got to make a differentiator between what the bank is really excited about and what your customers get really excited about, right? I see a lot. There's a lot of bank ads out there about, hey, now you can open an account online. Well, lots of other banks have been able to do that for years. So it's great that you have it, but you know, it's a thing that it's kind of table stakes, right? So as you're thinking about the products that you're going to kind of offer, think about those personas, right? Like with a millennial, you're not, you know, you're competing against lots of other banks that have had that feature for a long time. So you want to make sure people are aware of it, but it's not enough to, you know, get somebody to hop over to you.
Absolutely. Yep. So we covered audience a little bit, products, which naturally kind of rolls right into budget, right? Mm-hmm. And looking at your overall spend, obviously it's easiest for us to go back a year, 2 years, you know, and look at our overall marketing budget. Dan, you mentioned something I think that is so important. And we do this as an agency in conversation with clients. It is the trying to get a bit of a brain shift with marketing just being an expense or marketing just being a necessary expense. Well, we have to run those ads, right? Or we have to, whatever the case may be, as opposed to it being the fuel for the growth of your bank.
Yep.
And those are drastically different things. Dan, I realize that we're marketers, but I was in a couple of different industries for about a decade each before getting into the marketing agency world. And in those, the commonalities I think through so many businesses are, if you view marketing as an opportunity spend and you gear your budget that way, then that's a key element of it rather than a necessary expense. So that's one. Another one too is to accentuate who you are. And this starts to get into differentiators a little bit when we're talking about budget, because things such as community sponsorships, okay? So as a community banker, maybe your approach with, maybe your budget's smaller, but how you utilize parts of it for sponsorships and school, you know, events and those types of things is so key to what it is that you're trying to accomplish with your marketing, right?
Yep.
And then, you know, what portions of it are carved out also for digital ad spend, for traditional, what contracts do you have in place, if any, you know, for current media placement, you know, those types of things. So starting to segment that budget, looking at where you have big holes in it, big needs, and what those things are supposed to do is really key and fundamental as we start to plug it into the various platforms in this plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back to the everybody has a checking account. Like the point I always make on the budget is everybody's got a checking account. Advertising your checking account is not the differentiator, right? The differentiator is your brand, is how you talk about your products, is your messaging. And if you're not spending money to be on digital, right, then people aren't going to find you, right? The millennials, the younger generations are just, you're just not an option for them. They, maybe they drive by your bank every single day, but they're going to go home and Google, you know, bank products that they're looking for. And if you're not in that list, you're not a viable option for them. So, you know, the budget often just is the most sort of tactical part of the planning process, but it's also, you know, it's important. If you want your bank to grow, you need to have the budget to support that.
Yeah, what we see happening out there is the ones that are, the braver they are with the budget, the more that they grow.
Yep.
It's not that complicated if wisely done. Not to throw good money after whims, but wisely done is,
yeah, you don't have to like double your budget tomorrow, but it's right. Testing some new things. I often say, if I'm talking to a bank that's like apprehensive of starting a digital ad campaign, I say, look, can you clear up a chunk of budget? If it's $1,000, if it's $5,000, doesn't matter. Clear up one chunk of budget that the bank can afford and the bank's okay saying, okay, we're going to devote this to testing or an experiment, right? And let's run some ads for a couple months. Let's try some new things. You know, you don't have to commit to 10 straight years of digital advertising, you know, in one meeting, but try just a little bit, right? And that's the good thing about digital is you don't have to commit for a whole year. You know, it takes a few months to really start seeing results, but, you know, if you can carve out a little bit of budget to do new things each year, you'll expand your horizons and reach new people.
Yep. Well, so as we're looking at these platforms and technologies that are going to carry out all of this marketing as well, it's looking at, okay, well, if we want to cross-sell to this audience,
yep,
then these are the best ways to do that, and this is what it's going to cost. And again, what we're saying there sounds so elementary, but it's amazing how many folks in the financial finance industry are not doing a good job of pre-planning that. So again, yep, they end up responsive and reactive and, you know, kind of all over the place. And then they're going, well, that didn't work. Well, maybe it's because it wasn't well planned.
Yeah. You know, so. Well, and that's, you know, the good segue into technologies is, you know, technology is another huge area where people get that shiny object syndrome, right? You get a vendor calling and saying, oh, I've got this great email system for you. Oh, great. Well, we needed to send emails, you know, tell me what it can do. Oh, it does segmentation, it does reporting. Great. We need all that. But then you sign up for it and it doesn't get used, or you don't go, you know, you get busy and you don't get over that initial learning curve to get the most ROI out of it. So obviously paying for the technologies is a big part of the budget, but it's another area where you don't have to start huge, right? A lot of small banks can do just fine with a, you know, email automation platform. As you get, you know, there's tons of free analytics tools, those types of things. So, you know, there's lots of ways to get started, but, you know, similar to the strategic plan being a roadmap for your marketing, part of that strategic plan needs to be, what technology do we need to reach our persona groups? You know, what is that customer journey, right? We know we want to reach millennials. Maybe it's, you know, specific, we want to reach millennial home buyers, right? Well, how do we do that, right? We need an ad that will show them, it'll drive them to a landing page that talks about why, you know, getting a mortgage at our bank is better than other banks, get them to sign up for emails to get their rate emailed to them, get them on an email automation campaign. Like, how do we turn that in? How do we turn them into a customer? So if you think through those persona groups and the products you're offering and what that journey is, right, then we'll kind of back into what technologies we need. So I think most banks need an email automation tool, right? That can be something as simple as like Constant Contact or MailChimp, or something as, you know, complicated as a Salesforce or a, you know, there's a tool called ActiveCampaign where you can do very complex automated flows. You know, and then that tool can be used for cross-selling. It can be used for, you know, building up a community newsletter list, those types of things. That's kind of the easiest way to get started. Your loan department, another tool that a lot of banks have is a CRM, right? Your loan department, your sales oriented staff needs to keep track of leads, right? Somebody calls and asks for, you know, loan rates. You want to be able to follow up with them and track them. If a form gets submitted from an ad on your website, you want to be able to track them and have somebody follow up with them. So CRM is another pretty common one that's used a lot. you know, another layer is analytics tools. So Google Analytics is something that most banks have installed on their site. But the problem with Google Analytics is it's also got a high learning curve. So trying to jump into the tool, to the analytics interface and like figure out what's going on your website is tough because there's a whole other set of terminology, right? If you're not a kind of native web person, it can be pretty hard to figure out what's going on. So, you know, going from that to building a easily readable dashboard can be a goal, right? How do you make the data that's coming out of Google Analytics readable to your exec team so they understand, hey, when we turned on this ad campaign, our web traffic went up 15, 20%, right? Maybe we didn't get a bunch of leads, but you know, it takes months for people to make a bank switch decision. So let's track, you know, these leading indicators of brand awareness. Of if our web traffic is going up, more people are aware of us. If our search volume, if more people are in Google searching for our bank's name, you know, our ads are starting to do something. More people are wondering about us and starting to see us as an option. And that can be a leading indicator that more accounts, more things are to come in a few months. So those are just some, you know, some areas of technology to start with. It obviously gets way more complex than that. If you're a bigger bank that's got, you know, tens of thousands of customers, you know, you want to be start looking at, you know, personalization tools. You want to start looking at ways to get your customer data online so that you follow even your current customers around with a mortgage offer, or, you know, and you can get as precise as let's target all of our deposit only customers with a loan offer. Let's go to the next level of like next best offer analytics, right? And figure out how do we segment our customer base into, you know, who are the most likely people to apply for a mortgage or a refi, right? Make a list of customers that whose mortgages are maturing in the next, you know, year and send them some sort of, you know, home equity offer. I'm, you know, making some of the stuff up off the top of my head, but there's lots of ways to slice and dice that data if it's big enough, but you need the tools to do that. I could see us going in a future podcast episode deep into some of those areas, but for the purpose of planning, know that as your bank gets bigger, obviously the need for technology gets a lot more sophisticated as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Well, and the last kind of, I think, big piece we were going to put out today, Dan, talking about the strategic marketing planning too, were the themes and the messages. Okay. And the messaging, and this gets into the creative and all kinds of things. So I'll tell a quick fun story. I was doing this was just barely pre-pandemic. I was doing a State Banking Association workshop over on the East Coast, and walked in, and the first piece of the deck that I gave to everybody had a caricature of a superhero with a cape on there, and gave them colored pencils and actually told them, draw your bank's superpower. What is it? You know, so it is that guy or gal superhero riding on a tractor because it's ag loans, you know, or whatever the case may be, right? And through that process, we dove deep into what their superpower is, because as we've already said, we all loan green money and we all have checking accounts. We all have, you know, similar at surface value, same products and service offerings, right? So because you specialize in small business as a commerce bank, or because you're in rural areas and you're strong in ag loans, or because, you know, you focus on whatever, barbershops, you know, whatever the case may be, but those are things, or the depth to which you're truly involved in your community, to the point that you have a huge market share in some of your core market areas, and you're so much a part of the community that, you know, things in the community are named after the bank kind of stuff, you know, I mean, that entrenched. So those are all descriptions and examples of different kinds of superpowers, right, to me, that we as marketers, Dan, you and I have worked with so many different banks over time. We know that just being a 0.01% better on a rate is not the big differentiator that sets you aside and why tons of people move, you know, to your bank from another one, right? Yeah,
that's going to attract price shoppers.
Yeah.
You know, if you need the deposits, it's great. You know, those are valid tactics for certain reasons, but it's not going to attract, you know, long-term brand awareness and loyalty.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and then so in this messaging we put together, is it catchy and witty, or is it, you know, what are these things that it is so that it's committed to memory and it's on brand both with the bank and on brand with the campaign? I'll share very quickly one of the things that we share a lot with clients too, and I'll put this in the bank notes as well, is a creative brief process. It's not extremely difficult, but a lot of that is some of this planning stuff, but it's developing what is this messaging, you know, for this campaign. So if the product is more mortgages, right? And so it's our mortgage product and what we're going to do. We've defined our audiences. We've even looked at what our technologies we're going to use to reach them. Then what is the messaging? So if it's, hey, we've got a mortgage, that's one thing. But if it's the emotional catch of what it really means to first-time home buyers and through our imagery, you know, season over season, and every time this ad is going on different platforms, or excuse me, this campaign, you know, that same messaging and that same emotional tag is being utilized, that's where the themes and the messages are really getting some traction.
Yeah, and that can often be lifted right from a persona exercise, right? What are their, you know, you can look at it from the positive or the negative, right? The positive of the dream and the what does it feel like to, you know, go into your first home for the first time. Versus like the alternative of like, what if I can't afford a home, right? And you can position the bank in a number of different ways there of like, well, we can help you, right? We're a small enough community bank that we're going to help our customers, you know, learn how to save, learn how to improve their credit to buy that home. And, you know, then you're seen as you have messaging and a theme that's, you're seen as a partner, or you're seen as like the conduit to that goal. And that's where that, you know, the personas and the messaging kind of come together there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so Dan, as we get close to wrapping up here, let's talk about channels for a moment, because we have our favorites. We know what works. We know what works well for a number of our banks that we work with, you know, as well. You know, and it's the answer is not the same for all banks by any stretch of the imagination, right? So, for example, I get asked about social. But, you know, a lot. And we have lots of conversations about which social channels. So Facebook is the grandfather. Instagram is significant, you know, for our clients the vast majority of the time. You know, you start to get way off into, we had a prospective client that was really hardcore about wanting to be on Pinterest at one point. Well, nothing's wrong with Pinterest for what it's intended for, right? But I don't know that that is an ideal platform to engage with, you know, potential new loan clients, you know, or whatever the case may be. And it might be in a particular case, but I'm just using that as an example that you mentioned the shiny object syndrome. Well, I think there's the shiny platform syndrome, right? And some of the new social channels and all this kind of stuff. And I've seen marketing folks that are spending time on Snapchat, and I'm going, who's following you?
Yeah, I had a marketing exec at a pretty large bank not too long ago ask me like, why shouldn't we get on TikTok? Mm-hmm. I said, well, let me tell you a bunch of reasons why you shouldn't be on TikTok. Like, you know, I think there's with Pinterest and TikTok and some of the, you know, some of the emerging channels, like if you've got a sort of a native, you know, person that's really good at it in your bank and you can commit to producing really good, like kind of native content for the platform, silly dances and things like that. It can work, but it's really personality driven, right? Otherwise, if you hop on TikTok and just try to say, we have great, you know, great loans, it's not going to work and it might actually work against you, right? So take it back to the personas and say, look, if you're trying to reach the millennial home buyers, where are most millennials, right? Well, you know, Instagram is right now is like the platform for that. Right. Younger generations, Gen Z and you know, younger than that, you know, TikTok favors that, but like, it's not a great platform for brands yet. They're going to want to monetize it. It'll get there in a couple of years, but really go back to those personas, go back to the bank's goals and think, you know, map back to the platforms and the channels that way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and talking about tactics and channels as well, you know, we've still got a lot of our small town folks or folks that have branches in small towns and all that that are still very engaged in the high school. So they've got their ads in the athletic programs and all that other kind of stuff. And they ask us, you know, should they pull all of that and put every bit of that into, geofencing tactics and all this other kind of stuff. Well, yes, you need to be over into those digital platform tactics, but should you completely abandon that brand within the community? Absolutely not. You know, and is that important? Yes, you know, we certainly think that it is. Again, kind of going back through audience, budget, platforms, technologies, you know, it's, I think the best mixture is the right mixture for your bank. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah.
Have a sponsorship budget, right? Or have part of your marketing budget that's set aside for that, because, you know, you're going to have your recurring sponsorships that you know are coming every year. Maybe you still do a monthly newspaper ad, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it shouldn't come at the expense of digital if your goal is to reach millennials, for example. But, you know, but if you have that, you know, you might have, there's always sponsorships that come up through the year, or like that special ag placement you forgot. But if you have a line item for it, you know, you can you can use it for that and you know, still stay on your plan.
Absolutely. So Dan, speaking of plan, I know one of the things that we can also include as well is we've got an example strategic marketing plan or two that are actually ones that we've done for bank clients. We've redacted the bank name and the location out of it so that we could actually share those. So that's a tool that our listeners today are welcome to get and engage, and can jump on our bankmarketingshow.com website and go to this episode and look at that for an example and other tools that we can help folks with so that you can develop your strategic marketing plan in a way that's going to be a game changer.
Yeah. So that template is amazing, and it'll get you a long way down the road to making the plan. So definitely go check that out. And in future episodes of here, you know, we're planning in terms of our roadmap and our plan for the podcast, we're going to bring some really great interviews in from folks across the industry, but also all of these areas of strategic planning we've talked about, we're going to go through. You know, each one's going to get its own in-depth episode. So we'll go, you know, much deeper. I know we kind of just skimmed the surface of each of these areas today, but we'll go much deeper in future episodes too. So,
absolutely. So Dan, you know, to encapsulate all of this, I think what is really cool about everything that we've talked about today is how, again, it's such a backbone of how folks, and this can be from, you know, $100 million in asset banks to $8 billion and larger, you know, can utilize this strategic planning process, fit it to their own budget, scale, audience, and make this work to make a huge difference for where they're going over the coming year, and even longer, you know, look at 3-year strategic plan cycles and all of those things. So I think it's great and key, and hope that what we've brought to all of you guys that are listeners out there today is really valuable to you, and is going to help you to move forward to the next step and help you to be a bit more of a serene person in the meantime, because you've got it all planned out and you're engaging with others in your bank better, so that you're bringing that individualism that's also going to help the corporatism and everybody moves forward, right?
Yeah, great way to encapsulate it.
Super. Well, Dan, thanks a lot. It's been a lot of fun going through all of this and kind of sharing some great thoughts.
Same for me.
You got it. Well, we'll see you guys next time.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.